Psalm 23, verse 6, we see the tone of that verse in particular is one of confidence or assurance, seen by the word surely and shall. The whole psalm is one of assurance. As you come to verse 6, it's even more apparent as the psalmist has been reviewing the Lord and his life, and as he does so, his assurance increases. And we began looking last week at the Bible speaks much about this assurance. Child of God is to live a life of assurance. Assurance is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's connected with faith. We do not need proof to have assurance. We need faith to have assurance. In 1 John, book of 1 John, John, the Apostle John, speaks of this assurance. In John, 1 John 3 and verse 2, now are we the sons of God. There's assurance there. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. But we know. Then in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know. We know. Then in chapter 5, verse 13, midway through, it says that ye may know. These things have I written unto you that ye may know. So, and then the next thing is belief. So the Word of God and belief, or the Word of God and faith, leads to ye may know. There's assurance. In verse 19, and we know that we are of God. So there is such a thing as assurance. Again, we must not be confident. The foundation of our confidence is God. It's not ourselves. The foundation of our confidence is not circumstances. The foundation of our confidence is the Lord, what He tells us in His Word. So we can have this assurance regardless of circumstances. So it's a certainty. It's a certainty. It is a confidence. It is persuasion. That is, Paul said that he was fully, Paul wrote of Abraham that he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. It's God who does that for us. And that certainty and that confidence and that persuasion leads to conviction. Where there's assurance, there's conviction. God's people who lack conviction, whether they realize it or not, they lack assurance. They lack assurance. They may know some truths in their head, but if there's not conviction, I mean, they can listen to, 20 other views, and, you might have a point there, and this one might have. There's no conviction. That's because there's no assurance. Assurance is a wonderful thing. Assurance protects us from much error. People say, well, there's no use talking to you about that because you've already made up your mind. No, the Lord made up my mind. And that's how it ought to be concerning the Word of God. Concerning the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. The full assurance of hope. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Twice we read that phrase, full assurance. Full. That is, it's exhaustive. There's nothing that shakes it. It means it's all inclusive. It's not just an assurance for certain times or certain things. It's full. It's all inclusive. It's all encompassing. He said there in Hebrews 6 and 11, it's the full assurance of hope. Hope is confidence. In Hebrews 10:22 there, it's the full assurance of faith. Hope, faith. Feed assurance, makes the assurance full. That's why we ought to always be praying, Lord, increase my faith. There's a lot of things connected. There's a lot of things that faith does. And one of the things that it does is it gives assurance. And then assurance does a lot of things. So there should be no doubt that the Bible very clearly teaches that there is such a thing as spiritual assurance. This, it's expressed in a couple of different ways. We see there's the tone of assurance. We looked at verses last week that you, as you read, you can't help but notice that there's a tone of assurance in them. It's also expressed by the word hope. Throughout the New Testament, we have this word hope. And hope from the world's perspective says, I cross my fingers. I'm hoping. In other words, it's a wish. It's a desire. It's an optimism. But the hope that the Bible speaks of is not that kind of hope. And we need to realize that. It's not a, I wish it were so, hope, or maybe such and such will happen, hope. I mean, we have that hope. We do that, but that's not what the Bible is speaking of. It's not the, it might work out. I hope it works out. This hope in the Bible isn't, I know it's so. I know it's so. It's assurance. So notice in Romans chapter 5, look at several verses that speak of this hope. Verse 2, it says, by whom, which goes back to our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access. We have right of approach by Jesus Christ, by faith. We believe in Christ by faith. We haven't seen him with the physical eye, but by faith. unto this grace. Well, what's the grace? That would be access. Unto this favor. Wherein we stand. We stand in this grace. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When we realize that we stand in grace, we realize that we have access, we have hope, we have assurance. Verse 5, and hope, the same hope spoken of in verse 2, maketh not ashamed. You're absolutely certain. And that doesn't make you ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So this hope is connected with the love of God. It's connected with the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope. We rejoice in, speaking biblically or scripturally, we spiritually, we rejoice in what we know. We rejoice in hope. There's great joy in assurance. There's great misery in I don't know. There's great misery and doubt, speaking spiritually, but there's great rejoicing in hope. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known, that's assurance, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us is our assurance of glory. Christ in us is that assurance. It's what gives us that assurance that we're on our way to heaven. You tell somebody that's lost that you know you're going to heaven, they get offended. They really do. That offends them. Because in their mind, you get to heaven by works. So when you say, I know I'm going to heaven, what they hear is, you think you're better than me. But that's not what we're saying. We're saying, I am absolutely certain I'm going to heaven. Why? Because of Jesus, because of what he has done. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Paul's praying. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, which is comfort and good hope through grace. He's given us good hope, good assurance through grace. He's given us. Assurance comes from God. It's a gift of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope, which is our hope. Not shall be, though it shall be. Which is our hope. He's the foundation of our assurance. You know, sometimes someone will ask, what does that verse mean? Well, it means what it says, but I understand what you're asking. And many times we may not know exactly what a verse means. But I still believe it. And I know what it doesn't mean based upon what other scriptures say. Sometimes somebody will say, well, I think it means this. Well, that's not possible because that undoes this over here. So you need to rethink your interpretation. Got a little off track there. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Now that's talking about the appearing of Christ. But that's our assurance. People, the world will say, well, people have been talking about the coming of Christ for thousands of years. Yes, they have. They've had the assurance that he would come. And he will. We don't need... Some people need to, they try to link every event that occurs to the coming. Well, where does it fit in prophecy? Because they need that to build their assurance. I don't need that. You don't need that. All I need is Jesus saying, I will come again. That's all I need. Events don't have to line up for me to believe. In Titus 2:3, verse 7, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. A better hope. The world has hope. The religious world has hope. Jesus Christ gives a better hope, a better assurance. And in closing, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, midway through that verse, we see that because of his abundant mercy, we have been begotten us again, that's the new birth, unto a lively hope. A lively hope, a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's lively, it's working. Verse 13 of the same chapter, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Have assurance to the end. This assurance is what enables you to gird up the loins. Enables you to go forward. And this hope will be realized at the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This hope, this assurance. So assurance is a wonderful thing. It is an unmovable, unshakable, undeniable anticipation and expectation that it will happen. That's hope. That's assurance. And we stand firm in assurance, and we ought to be glad that God gives us that assurance, and pray that God, again, if as our faith increases, as our relationship with the Lord grows, so grows our assurance. The more confident we become. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much that we can have assurance. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you've given each one of us here that are saved. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would increase our assurance day by day, our confidence in you. Lord, we pray today that you would be with us, that you would just draw us closer to you, conform us more to your image. Lord, we do pray for those that are lost, that you would come where they are today and open their hearts to salvation, save their souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.